I've never been in a slaughterhouse. I used to go to the butcher shop when I was younger, and which was really a meat cutting store, because they really didn't slaughter any animals there. And as I've just told you, I've field dressed animals and seen it and showed my son how to do it. And we were heading home just this last week, and we were up in Michigan and heading back. And I never seen so many deer on vehicles, just tons of deer. One of the vehicles I went by had blood all over the side of it from that deer that was on it. And I thought, boy, the PETA people would just be, you know, seeing all them fuzzy little creatures, you know, draped all over the vehicles. And this one SUV looked like he field dressed it on top of the SUV, because it was a mess. And it brought back to memory an experience that I had with the men of Home Church. And most of you know Larry Eaton and some of the men, song leader. And well, I went hunting for years. And there was one time at night that Larry had shot a deer bow hunting, very bad, shot it in the rear hip. He came in and he says, oh, brothers, I've shot a deer and I don't think I got a good shot. And we ate our supper and we went out and finally tracked that deer down. And that deer was getting up and running every time we got near it. We'd lay down a little bit, and then when we got near it, it would run. And then one of the men all of a sudden took off running, and I didn't know, I was carrying a lantern, and I saw, the next thing I seen, he was on top of the deer. And then Larry ran, and Larry got on top of the deer. And I ran up there, and there's two men on top of this deer, and the first man says, I can't get to my knife because Larry's on top of me. And he said, give me a knife. One of the other men there handed a knife, and he slit that deer's throat to kill that deer. And it was a horrible sight. When an animal is killed in such a way, all I could sit there and say to the other men there as I watched that deer's throat being slit and the blood gushing out of that deer, as I said, I'm glad my son's not here for this. I said, this is horrible. It about killed me from deer hunting. Think of that. But there we live in times when people do not want to see blood. They don't want to see any blood, and they've forgotten about the blood. And as just Philip just preached, many of those translations have removed the blood. We go to the stores, and you know, today in the stores, when you go buy your meat, you don't even see any blood, do you? They put those nice little things underneath it to soak it all up so you don't see any blood. There's no killing in the blood anymore, in the blood. But even so, in religion today, the blood is being left out of salvation. It's forgotten. But you know, turn with me over. I told you to turn to Hebrews, but turn to Acts chapter 20. We got to read a verse there first. Being that there are many preachers here, I think we've got about 40 preachers in this group now. But in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, it says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Amen. We have a responsibility to preach about the blood. Amen. We have a responsibility to remember the blood that was shed for us. The Old Testament tabernacle, we see the shedding of blood that was needed. The Passover feast was a bloody thing. Sacrificing animals had to be a very bloody thing. But the blood wasn't just wasted. The blood was captured and it was used. The Passover feast, they captured that blood, and every year when that Passover came, it was painted on the door, on the side post and on the lintel over the door. And I thought about the very first time of the Passover, and every time I think about it, I always think about if my firstborn were in that house, I'd squeeze every drop of blood I could get out of that lamb. Amen. I would get that lamb down and I would have slit its throat and I would get every bit of that blood I could in a bucket. Amen. And then I would take that blood and I would make sure that as I painted it on the door and on the top that it was visible, and I would do that and I would make sure that every bit of the blood that I could get, I would get on there. And I know my wife, and I know her, and she would be inside probably with her arms around our firstborn saying, are you sure that you've got the blood on the door? Amen. And then I thought about this, and I thought, did it get where it was routine after 1,000 years? Well, the firstborn, you know, after 1,000 years, you know, it was just a feast. It was just routine. Okay, we're going to sacrifice the lamb here in March on the 14th or whatever day it fell to. And we're going to take the blood and put it on the door. Did after a while, I'm certain that the second Passover feast, there was much fear. Will children die? And then as it went on and on, did it just become more routine to where the blood was forgotten about and what it was a picture of? But the blood was a sign to the people in Hebrews chapter 9, and I told you to turn there. In verse 18 it says, whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled the blood, both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. You know, there was a lot of blood being put on everything. It was a sign. Blood was everywhere in the Old Testament. And yet today, many don't even want to sing about the blood. And as Brother Philip preached, that's one of the first things that many things have attempted to be removed from many of these translations is the blood. In Hebrews 29:22, it says, and almost all things are by the law purged by the blood, and without shedding of blood there is no remission. Even before the tabernacle was ever built, there was the shedding of blood. Very beginning in Adam and Eve, when, as Philip put out, he questioned the word of God, there was the shedding of blood. There was no way that these animal skins were taken without blood being shed. This blood was a symbol of the blood that would be one day shed for them. The Passover feast was a picture, it tells us in Hebrews chapter 10, a shadow of good things to come. Look at verse 1 of chapter 10. For the law having a shadow of good things to come, all of the law of keeping of the Passover, of the shedding of blood, was a picture of good things to come. Part of the Passover, as we said, was the application of the blood. It had to be applied in Exodus chapter 12. Look with me there. In Exodus chapter 12, it took more than the shedding of blood. It had to be applied. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 12, it says, for when I pass through the land of Egypt this night, I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment, for I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Any home that did not have the blood applied, judgment came. The blood had to be applied, more than just the shedding of blood. It had to be applied. And when judgment comes, you must have the blood. It's not the blood of bulls or the goats or of even lambs, but it's what the Bible calls the precious blood of Jesus Christ. It was that perfect, sinless blood. It represented that in that spotless lamb that they chose. He said there in verse 5 of chapter 12, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year, and he shall take it out of the sheep and the goats. You know, Belshazzar, you know, when he was standing there and saw the handwriting on the wall, and it was interpreted, it said he was found lacking. What was he lacking? The blood. He didn't have the blood. God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. He didn't say, when I see how often you attend church, I'll pass over you. He didn't say, when I see the blood, I'll stop in and see what else you've done there at home. He didn't say, when I see the blood and see your righteousness added to it, I'll pass over you. But he simply said, when I see the blood. He didn't say, when I hear you speak in tongues, I'll pass over you. There are many who preach about the Holy Spirit and nothing about the blood. You can turn it on today and you can hear all sorts of preaching on TV about faith healing and about gifts of the Holy Spirit. You can hear all sorts of things, but you don't hear about the blood. But Jesus said even the Holy Spirit would testify of him. He said, but when the Comforter was come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. He's going to speak about me. The Holy Spirit is going to speak about Christ. And there's a whole lot of preaching about the Holy Spirit, but less and less about Christ and his blood. Even the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, will speak of Christ and his blood. I'm afraid that many think they have Christ and just have a bunch of emotionalism anymore. But without the pure blood of Jesus Christ, no one will enter into heaven. It's the blood that we must have for God to pass over us. The blood was all over everything in the temple to remind them that there must be the shedding of blood. There must be the shedding of blood. Today, many people are trusting in some feeling they had. Well, I felt bad about my sins, and I cried over my sins. I must be saved. I made a profession, or I was confirmed. They have all these things, and they never think about the shed blood. I spent 2 days with a man last year that told me he was raised Baptist. Rode around with him, and he told me that he married a Catholic woman, and they were raising their children Catholic. And I thought, oh, how can you even say you were raised in a Baptist church? And I asked him, I thought, well, here's an opportunity. Baptist, a so-called Baptist. I said, how do Catholics believe that they are saved and born again? And he said that his answer was, they are not like Baptists where you can point to a day or a time or a moment. But it is more of an evolving into faith. When I asked when the person would know when they had evolved, he said, thought for a minute, he says, I believe it's when they take their first communion. And then I thought, they don't even take the representing of the blood in that. That's not even there. He said, the blood shall be a token. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you, not the communion.
Amen.
When we see the blood, when God sees the blood of his Son. This past week, I was saddened again to see the news showing the slaughter of Nicole Brown Kidman and that Goldman or a boy. But you know, they just showed all the pool of blood. And it just grieved the family again. But you know, when I thought about it, I thought, how would that feel if that was your daughter laying there in that pool of blood and you saw it? But you know, it's not just any old blood that God sees, it's the blood of his Son.
Amen.
When he sees the blood of his Son, there's payment. When he sees the blood of his Son, there's satisfaction.
Amen.
There is no doubting when he sees the blood of his Son that payment has been made. A propitiation has been made.
Amen.
He said, when I see the blood, not the blood of bulls and goats, but he said, when I see the blood of my Son, I'll pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you. The blood has value to God. It was precious to him. It was the blood of his precious Son. When we see the blood, he says, when I see it, he says, I'll pass over you. There's nothing needed and nothing needed to be added to it. Just the blood. In 1 Peter, we know these verses, but look with me here and read them. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish, without spot. It was precious to his Father. It was precious to the apostles. Is it precious to you? Peter went on to say here, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God. The only way that you can believe in God is by through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls. Brother Walter Meyer prayed, and he prayed and thanked for the blood. If you listen to his prayer, I did. When he led us in prayer, he prayed about the precious blood. It purifies. He said it makes us washed, he says, as white as snow, and that's what it does. In God's eyes, that precious blood, it purifies your souls. This blood that makes us pure in the sight of God. You may be here and say you have faith, but if you don't have the blood, you're not going to enter into heaven. You can have all the faith you want. You can have all the good works you want. But if you don't have the blood, he said, I won't pass over you.
Amen.
Look with me over in Ephesians chapter 2. I love one of my favorite chapters in Ephesians. We know these verses so well, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith.
Amen.
And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Amen. That faith isn't of yourselves. It's a gift. God gives you that.
Amen.
Not of works, lest any man should boast. There'll be no boasting in heaven.
Amen.
For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And that was preached about. We ought to have a desire. As Brother Randy said, those that are baptized, those that are born again ought to have a desire to put off the old man.
Amen.
Saved unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
Amen.
We ought to come out from the world, be separate from the world.
Amen, brother.
Wherefore remember that being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision, in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ. You remember when you were without Christ? You remember what it took to have Christ? Look in verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ.
Amen.
Faith is the gift by the means which we believe, but the blood of Christ is what washes away our sins and purges us. The blood of Christ. I love what Abraham said when he took Isaac up to the mountain. He said, Isaac said, well, we got the wood, we got the fire. Where's the sacrifice? And Abraham said, God will provide a lamb.
Yeah.
And he did. And old John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus coming, and Jesus coming to be baptized, what did he say? Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Here's that ultimate sacrifice. Here it is. And you know, when I think about it, how when Jesus was there with his disciples on that night, and you know, Jesus kept the Passover. He kept it perfectly. There was no leaven in that house. That place was purified, and it, all leaven removed, because he was observing the Passover feast with his church.
Amen.
And you know what that meant? The shedding of blood had to take place. That night there was a lamb slain. A bloody thing took place. And then he went on to tell them that this is what's going to happen to me. I'm that lamb. I'm going to be crucified here just shortly, but I'll raise again. I'll rise again and I'll come back. But you know, it had to be so much of a picture there that night when he was telling them. They had just seen it. They had just experienced it. They had just went through it. That he was going to shed his blood for them. The shedding of blood. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Do you know that you have the blood today? You know that that's one of the things that was said. Brother Asbury read this last night in 1 John. Turn with me in 1 John chapter 1. Verse 4. If you know that the blood of Jesus was shed for you, that gives you that joy.
Amen.
And as Brother Walter Meyer's prayer said again, even though they're guilty of murder, he laid down his life.
Amen.
His blood was shed. It wasn't spilt. It wasn't an accident. I often think of the thieves and how they didn't want to go, and they struggled for every minute probably of their lives to not have nails put through their hands or their feet, not be crucified. But I believe when Christ got there, he just laid down on that cross. He had already spilt much of his blood. Not many people even think about being scourged and what a scourging is.
Yes.
Well, my pastor would preach and he would talk about a scourge and that cat of nine tails. And being whipped with something 39 times. With nine pieces of leather stretched out with pieces of bone and glass or metal. And we woven into the ends of nine pieces of leather strap. And having that put across my back. I told our people recently, I said, my brother and I, not this brother, he's too much older, but the other brother I've got that's closer to me. We would have towel fights in our house. You know, we'd get the dish done this with the dishes, and my brother would snap me sometimes with a wet towel, and boy, I'll tell you, that would hurt. And I didn't want to get that. But I can't imagine being whipped one time with this whip and having it laid across my back and pulled away. And then to think that having that done 39 times, there was some bloodshed. Blood was shed. It says his visage was so marred that he was not even recognizable. But you know what tells us over in Isaiah that he gave his back. He didn't have to give his back. He gave his back to them and he gave his cheeks to them. He gave it. He gave his blood. And he didn't just give it to just, well, I'll just give it for the whole world and hope someone one day trusts and believes in me. I believe when he was in the agony of the garden and the blood dripped out of his sweat pores that he was thinking of me.
Amen.
And then I believe that when those were there spitting upon him and pulling his beard and his face began to bleed and the crown of thorns was ground onto his head that he was thinking of me. And that he could have thought, well, take this cup from me. Let this cup pass from me. Let this stop. But he thought, no, I've got to do it for Mark. Yes, that last whip hurts. And I know I got 29 more. But I've got to do it for Mark. His blood was shed for me. John said, these things have I write unto you that your joy may be full. And then he said there in verse 7, he says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. You know, as Brother Asbury said, what's in here doesn't sin, but what's out here sins. I'm so glad that the blood is still there. I need it every day. I need the washing of the water of the Word to cleanse me. I need to come to conferences like this and hear you, brother, preach that I might get the washing of the water by the Word through that precious blood and hearing about the blood. His blood has cleansing power to wash away all my sin. Look in Revelation chapter 1 with me. Writing to the churches here in Revelation, verse 4 says, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was. I mean, he always has been. Many people don't realize that Jesus Christ was the one who said, let there be light. It says, by him all things consist.
Amen,
you know, whether it's principalities or powers. I mean, he's put everything and he allows everything to be in its place. He keeps this earth right here where it's at. If it wasn't for Jesus Christ, we'd all burn up or we'd all freeze. From him which is and which was and which is to come. He is coming. And I'm telling you, if you just turn your TV on, you know it's got to be soon. Well, Ellen DeGeneres was getting, you know, got an award the other night for her show. Who would give her an award? But the wicked industry that it's part of. But he is coming back. He said the days would be like Sodom. Days would be like Lot. Wicked days. Somebody was telling me they saw a bumper sticker this morning. I think it was Brother Dan that said, my daddy's a man, my mommy's a woman. Pretty bad day, isn't it, when that has to be defined. He is coming back.
Amen.
We certainly know one thing. Every day is one day closer.
Amen.
It says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten from the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us. Amen. Wasn't just for anybody. It was particular.
Amen.
For him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood.
Amen.
And hath made us kings and priests unto God. Not only, you know, am I a child of God? I look forward to one thing more than anything else, because I can grasp a little of it. I can't begin to grasp what real heaven is going to be or what paradise is, and I can't even grasp when it says he goes to prepare a place for me. I can't grasp that. But I can grasp ruling and reigning 1,000 years with him here. I can understand a little of that. But he said, he hath made us kings and priests unto God. I mean, we're going to do that. I believe 1,000 years, there'll be perfect peace.
Amen.
We need to understand, though, what God must see for that to take place. He must see the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When he looks at you, he has to see the blood of his Son. You try and add anything to it, and you do nothing but contaminate it. You know, I don't eat at many fine restaurants. I remember when we finally took our kids to a restaurant that was a sit-down restaurant. We had them, and we took them many times to, you know, McDonald's or whatever, and because we were always afraid they'd act up. And then Mark, my son, one day, we were at a restaurant, and he goes, "Look, a knife and a fork." You know, like we finally took them to a place that actually had silverware, you know. But I know enough about people who make fine food. The worst thing you can do to a chef is grab that salt and go before you ever taste it. But that's just me. I mean, I'm going to grab not only the salt, but I'm going to grab the pepper and do the same. Because that's just me. I like a lot of salt. I like a lot of pepper. But it's insulting to him, because you're adding to something that he has made to what he thinks is perfection. But I, years ago, thought about, if you invited me over and you before had asked me, "Well, what's your favorite meal?" And I said, "Make me a steak. Give me some cheesy potatoes on the side. Dutch apple pie for dessert." And you had me over and you prepared everything perfectly the way I love it. And then I enjoyed it and I ate it all. And when it was all done, I put $3 on the table and said, "Thank you." You would be insulted that I even tried to put anything out there. But many times, when we try and add anything to the pure blood of Jesus Christ,
amen,
we insult God.
Amen.
We insult his Son and his sacrifice. We insult the Father to think that we could add our feeble works,
yeah,
or that we could put anything to it. Look in Hebrews chapter 9 again with me. In Hebrews 9 and verse 11, "But Christ being become a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." There's nothing there added. It's his blood, his own blood. And then look at verse 13 and 14. "For if the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of heifer and sprinkling of an unclean sanctifieth through the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" Part of the Passover, as I said, was applying the blood. The blood of Jesus Christ must be applied.
Amen.
I can't apply it for you. There's nothing anybody can do to apply it for you. How is it applied? It's applied only one way.
That's right.
You know, they didn't have, they couldn't just use anything in the Old Testament to apply it. God was very specific about what it had to be applied with. It was applied with hyssop. I don't understand. I've tried to understand that hyssop and all about it. But I know that there's only one way the blood can be applied. And that's your faith in Jesus Christ. That's the only way it can be applied. It's not what you think about the blood that matters. It's what God sees that matters. You may not even really think about the blood like you should. We don't. But God must see it. If you don't have the blood, you're lost. If you don't have the blood of Christ, He will not pass over you.
Amen.
You will be cast out into eternal hell.
That's right.
For all it. God is the judge of the blood. He will examine it and see if it's the pure blood of His Son.
That's right.
It has to be the pure blood of Jesus Christ. He said, "When I see the blood, I'll pass over you." When the blood is applied, as in Romans it says, "Therefore there is now no condemnation."
Amen.
To them which are in Jesus Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, never to be condemned again. There is therefore now no condemnation. We need to remember that blood and not forget about it. The blood that was shed for our sins. It's only by the blood of Christ that we can pray. It's only by the blood of Christ that we can boldly enter into that throne. It was only by the blood that a priest could ever go into the Holy of Holies and put and apply the blood. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14 it says, "Seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into heavens, Jesus Christ the Son." He took His blood. Let us hold fast our profession. And He says, "Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace." And in Hebrews chapter 10, it says, "Therefore, brethren, they're having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus." That's how we can pray. You realize that every time you pray, the only reason that you can pray, the only reason that God hears your prayer is because of the blood. There's so many people out there who never have the blood applied, think they're praying. They're not. They don't have the right to approach that throne. But you have that right.
Amen.
Only if you have the blood.
Amen.
The only prayer that the Lord hears of the lost is a prayer of repentance.
Right.
He says He doesn't hear the prayer of sinners. We could turn and read you many places. But the only way that we can is through the blood. God said the blood was a sign or a token. He said the blood shall be a token upon the houses where ye are, and when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Christ shed His blood, as He said, it wasn't spilt. He laid down His life, and He laid down knowing who He was laying it down for. He did not shed His precious blood for just a whole human race and just sit back and say, "Okay, now I'll see who will trust in Me." He knew who He was on the cross for. He did it for those He came to die for, those He foreknew. And you know, He did it for people that are of different skin colors too. He did it for the whites. He did it for the blacks, the browns, the red, the yellow, whatever skin color you want to call it. Look with me over in Malachi chapter 20. One of our young preachers in our church, Brother Paul Carpenter, read this Sunday, and it hit me where I've been thinking. You know, we always think about all the immigration problem. And don't get me wrong, I'm not for everybody coming to this country and getting Social Security and getting all these benefits and things. But I begin to wonder, maybe there's a reason that God has allowed so many people to come here, and that our borders are so weak and so many people can come into this country. Maybe it's because we're not sending missionaries there.
Amen.
I thought about Brother Kraft when I thought of this, and I thought, he took a man who didn't believe what we believe and showed him these wonderful truths. Amen. We want missionaries, but we don't want to send our sons or our daughters. We don't want to see our daughters marry one. We don't want to lose them. We don't want to see them go. But look at verse 10. Malachi chapter 2. Have we not all one Father? Have not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously every man against his brother? Oh, we talk so many times bad about the other races, but God's blood was shed for them too.
Amen. Amen.
You want to find some loving people, go to Papua New Guinea. Break your heart. Best thing I ever did in some ways was take my son there. But the most humbling thing was to preach to those people. Stood at Frank James at the airport at 5:30 in the morning getting ready to leave. And Frank said, well, some of them will probably be here. And I thought, no, not at 5:30 in the morning. Just before 6 o'clock, as I was ready to just walk through the last door into customs, I felt like all of a sudden I couldn't move. And I realized why I couldn't move is because Brother Philemon, one of the church members, was on the floor holding onto my ankles, telling me how much he loved me for coming. That'll humble you.
Amen.
There's some precious people there. There's precious people everywhere. And I thought maybe God's bringing them all here because we won't go there. What other nation can you still preach the gospel freely? And the way we have the liberties here.
Amen.
As the song says, there's power in the blood.
Amen.
There's a fountain filled with blood. And then there's the song that says, are you washed in the blood?
Amen.
Because Jesus said it, or the Lord said, when I see the blood of his son Jesus, I'll pass over you.
Amen.
What will God see when he looks at you? Will he see the blood of his precious son? Or are you going to stand there with your good works and your church membership or your baptism? Or you've got to have the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.